Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning, or actually this last weekend, we visited with Paul Koenig, and he is here at the Bada Bada Bing Bang Rally. So, hello to you, Paul.
Hi.
And you are from?
I am from Harvard, Nebraska, which is 10 miles, well, actually I live on a farm 10 miles east of Hastings, Nebraska. On Highway 6. Highway 6 goes right through Atlanta, so we're connected.
Yes. So, what brought you, why are you here at the rally?
Oh, I love to pay a tribute to our veterans. Okay. And I don't think we can thank them enough for their service. And I love World War II memorabilia. I collect World War II memorabilia. I have three vehicles, a World War II Jeep, an M20 armored car, and an M3 half-track.
Now, those are, well, maybe the Jeep isn't as big as the other two, but kind of describe, tell us a little more about the half-track for those of us who don't know about military equipment. How do you describe it?
Well, the half-track is really what it is. It's two front wheels steer, and then the back, instead of having wheels in the back, it has a track on each side. They're rubber tracks. Everybody thought, oh, they're steel tracks. Well, they are not. The Americans made rubber tracks. The Germans had steel on their half-track. So you can drive them any place you want to go. They started building them in late 42, and they built them on up through the contract ran out in 1945, and they built over 55,000 units.
You know what? I bet some women helped build those.
I bet you're right there. But maybe they built them all, maybe.
Maybe.
But anyway.
And how were they used? What was the purpose?
They had multi-purposes. The one that I own, it happens to haul 13 fully armored troops ready for combat. It does carry a 50 caliber machine gun for anti-aircraft. It was called a personnel mover or personnel carrier. They also had M16. Mine was an M3. They made an M3A1, which had a pulpit mount like the one off behind us there. It still had a 50 caliber on it. And they had numerous mounts for 30 caliber machine guns. Also, anything they could grab, you know, off of other vehicles, they would do. And they also made one particular one, which was an M16, which had four 50 caliber machine guns for anti-aircraft use.
Where do you go, if you're a collector, where do you go to buy a half-track?
Well, mainly I would suggest subscribing to Military Vehicles Magazine, which is a publication, and also Supply Line. And they have one ad sections in there, and that's how I picked up mine. Mine actually come from a collector in Indiana. And he had restored, I don't know if he restored it, but it was restored. And he said, I only drive it three times in a year, so I'm going to get rid of it. And my grandkids love to ride in mine.
Okay. I can't imagine why. I mean, that has to be just the greatest thing. Okay, now you said you had a Jeep, but you also have another piece here.
That's an M20 armored car, and it's also built in 1943. Of those, like the M20, there was only a little over 3,000 of those built. But General Patton used one for command car one time when he was in Europe. Okay. He said he didn't like it, but he used it.
So if we saw the movie Patton, would that have been in the movie, do you think?
I can't remember seeing it in there. I know there was half tracks in there, but if you read the story on Patton, you'll see it, because he had a windshield, he had double air horns on it, and he had it all decorated.
Yeah, that sounds typical of the bit I know about Patton. Mm-hmm. Now, you did not serve in World War II, right?
No, I was post-Korea, pre-Vietnam. I served from 1956 to 1964 in the Army National Guard unit out of Hastings, Nebraska. I was 6 years infantry, 2 years combat engineer.
And did you go other places to do that job?
No, we were basically had 2 week summer camp at Fort Ripley, Minnesota. And I was in the old days when we had Monday night drills. Every Monday night, year round, we got 2 weeks vacation during Christmas, and that was about it. But every other night, we went for 2 hours every Monday night.
Okay. Let's think back to World War I, because I understand you have a relationship there also.
Yes, my father was drafted in World War I. And he went to basic training, I think, someplace in Camp Dodge, Iowa. And I think he ended up embarking out of, I think it was in Jacksonville, Florida. I believe he told me that. And he, as they were going overseas, the armistice was signed. So he said, everybody jumped up and down and said, oh boy, we're turning around, go home. No, they went overseas and he was there for a year and he carried mail. He said he'd done everything from carrying mail and messages on foot, horseback, motorcycle, and if he had lucky enough, he got an old Model T car to drive.
How many stories did he share with you?
Oh, not too many, because he really had no action, because, you know, it was just post-war. But he said there were no roads. It was just mud. You know, everything was mud. No paved road, no gravel roads. So, I mean, it's hard to picture how they could have to do that. But when he couldn't drive the car, if it was too muddy, he walked. Or if he couldn't find a horse to ride, he walked. But then I hate it to this day that my brother and I played with his uniforms and stuff. I wished I had those yet, but we played with them until they fell apart. But I do have a rifle that he brought back from, it's a German 8mm Mauser rifle, and I will keep that.
You're not playing with that?
No, we don't play with that.
And then actually, because you were young yet, mm-hmm. when World War II was around, but you had some experiences related to World War II.
Just the experiences with the Hastings Naval Ammunition Base, which was just right across the road from Highway 6 from us, and we could see a lot going on there. And well, I lived 6 miles from the Harvard Army Air Base, and they trained B-17 crews there, B-24 crews, and then later the B-29 crews, and they closed that down in 1945. But they. It was real funny, they bought the land, same way with the Naval Ammunition Depot. They bought it in early 1942, and by the end of, or the first part of 1943, they were producing ammunition at this depot. And the way I understand it, they produced 40% of the ammunition used in the Pacific Theater in World War II.
Pretty amazing. And I'm thinking, as a 6 and 7 year old boy, you had to be really amazed with those big planes that were taken off.
Oh yes, and what was really interesting, they used fighter pilots, and they had some kind of an electronic gun sight, and they were training the gun crews on the B-17s and the B-24s, and these planes would dive at them like they were enemy planes, and they would practice shooting at them, you know, for gunnery practice. And they would fly right over our house, you know. And one time, they must have been training for the Ploiesti raids when they flew real low, because they come down Highway 6 up it, they weren't 100 feet off the ground. Three of them. They just made the windows rattle.
I'm thinking that picture is still in your head.
It is.
Yes.
Vivid.
And then, as you said, you were in National Guard, and now you've sort of carried on with your appreciation for veterans and for those who are serving. Mm-hmm. And I guess just give people some advice. Hey, heads up, what should we be doing to appreciate our service people?
Well, I think we should, you know, recognize them, especially when they come back home.
I was visiting earlier with somebody who we were talking about when the mostly men, there were a few women, but mostly men came back from World War II. They just went back to work, and we didn't hear any stories for a long time.
Yeah, you know, and if, you know, go out of your way to at least recognize them, you know, they come back, especially Vietnam. So many of them said they hated them when they came home. That shouldn't be.
No, shouldn't be. They were there doing a job that they were told to do, and so... are there other rallies, other museums that people maybe, if they're interested in military history and so on, that you would recommend?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Heartland Museum out at Lexington is a real good one. It's right off the Interstate 80. Real easy to get to. And if there's, you know, a lot of these shows, you know, and rallies like this are advertised, you know, go to them if you can, you know.
Yeah.
And the veterans should even come, because they're appreciated there too.
And the visiting, to me, is probably the most important part. It's great to see the vehicles, but when they get to visit with veterans, with folks like you, that's probably the most important part.
And then I do the state fair in Nebraska State Fair, and they have Veterans Day is on Labor Day. And it's that's all they do on Veterans Day. We have a Veterans Day parade, and I take my military vehicles there and do the parade. And if there's any veterans that want to ride, I'll give them a ride in my half track.
All right, great. Well, we appreciate all you do for veterans. And just want to remind everybody to say thanks to a veteran, say thanks to a service person, and appreciate what they do for us. We've been here at the American Legion Memorial Building with the Bada Bing Bang Rally. I love to say that, and sometimes my tongue gets twisted. But we thank you very much for coming to
Thank
Atlanta.
You very much. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Good. It's worth
Thanks.
The effort.
Thanks. Okay.